Good morning. Well, welcome everyone this morning. I appreciate being welcomed as well. My name is Norlin Van Beek. Some familiar faces. I was trying to figure out when it was, actually, several years ago. I had the opportunity to be here and work as the pastor and study while I was in seminary. And it is good to be back and see familiar faces. You know, we'll chat about more about that in a little bit. But got a couple of announcements. A big thank you to those who have brought boxes already for Operation Christmas. Boxes have to be here by Thursday if you have some at home yet. So by Thursday, they need to be here. And then this did not make it in the bulletin, but Thanksgiving dinner is set for next Sunday, November 18 at 5:30. Everyone is asked to bring a salad, vegetables, or dessert. Meat and potatoes will be provided. So next Sunday at 5:30, Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to begin with the words from Psalm 8. If you would please stand and I'll read the words, I guess. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sea and the fish in the sea, in the sky, excuse me, birds in the sea, that'd be real. The fish in the sea and all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's sing together. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your gifts. We thank you for the gift of this day. Lord, as we remember and celebrate your resurrection, Lord, may our hearts and minds be tuned to yours. Now may the grace mercy and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power and work of the Holy Spirit, rest upon us now and always. Amen. Please follow along with our prayer of confession. Let's say this together. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and mortal one, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let's pray together. Father, we do come before your throne of grace, Lord, needing your mercy. Lord, we praise you for being a God who is unchanging in an ever-changing world. We praise you for being a God who loves unconditionally. We praise you for your gift of mercy, your gift of grace. Lord, we don't often live the lives, Lord, that you've called us to live. We fall short of your glory. No one has escaped that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so, Father, we humbly and yet boldly come before your throne of grace, not in our strength, but in the strength of Christ our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we pray, we ask, we humbly petition you, Lord, in your strength and majesty, to see us, to forgive us of all our sin, to know, Lord, that we are but dust, and every moment of our life is a gift from you. And so, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for the grace and mercy from your hand to rest on us, to rescue us, Lord, from our sin, and to remake us and rebuild us so that we might be effective in your kingdom, not for our glory, Lord, but for yours. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together, or no, we're going to have mutual greeting, sorry. Let's take time to greet each other in the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's go to God in prayer together, shall we? Father, thank you again for your gifts of mercy and grace. Thank you for the gift of Sabbath to rest and rejoice in who you are and what you've done for us by sending your Son. Lord, we celebrate with all creation, with what you have done and what you will do and what you have promised to do in your coming again. So, Lord, we look forward to all that you have in store as we continue in the life and adventure that you have planned before us. Sometimes, Lord, that life and that adventure gets a little rough and a little rocky. And so for those, Lord, in special need, we ask for your comfort and care, for your hand to hold and guide them. Lord, help us and remind us daily that it's not how tightly we hold on to you, but how much we are in your grasp and held by you. Lord, we praise you for that knowledge and that understanding and that hope. Lord, knowing that it's not about our strength, but your strength in us. Lord, for those who are struggling, Lord, we pray for your assurance and your power and presence in their lives. Lord, we continue to pray for Glenda. We ask that you would bring healing to her. Lord, we know that all things are possible in you. So whether in this life or the next, Lord, we know that you will restore all of us, Lord, to what you designed us to be. So, Lord, strengthen her and her family. We pray for others, Lord, for that hope and healing, whether it be something more minor. Lord, we pray for a healing of hearts if needed and where needed. Lord, we are nearing the holiday season with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and sometimes, Lord, that can bring memories and often a bit of pain and grief. For those of us who are mourning loved ones, Lord, we pray that it would be a time of joy, that it would be a time of joy and remembering and holding on, Lord, to those treasures and memories that you've given us. And Lord, in that, may we also bring you honor and glory and praise. For the opportunity, Lord, to celebrate together as family, as friends, as churches and communities, Lord, may you receive the honor and glory. Lord, too, there are things that happen in and around us, friends, co-workers. Lord, help us to be your voice, your gift of love and grace in their lives where needed. Give us strength for that. We pray too, Lord, for our nation and the elections just passed. And so, Lord, in the continuing and ongoing saga of politics, Lord, we pray that you would intervene, that you would show yourself and your power, your majesty. And Lord, may we have leaders that truly depend on you for their wisdom and depending on your wisdom rather than their own. Lord, there are others who are hurting in our nation. There are those, Lord, who have family members who have been lost to wars and tragedies as they serve. Lord, we pray especially for those who among us and around us, Lord, that are a part of our military and our veterans. Lord, may your presence be in their hearts and lives. Lord, for the families who have lost loved ones, hold them and encourage them. And may they know, Lord, that while they have paid a price, Lord, you are in their hearts and lives, just as you have laid down your life for us. Lord, strengthen those who are wounded, those families that are hurting from past wars and the brokenness that comes with the stress of war. Lord, we pray that you would enable us and help us to come alongside those families, those men and women who have been broken in a unique way, Lord. that you would bring healing to them and their families. Lord, so as we honor those who have served, Lord, may we do so in remembering how you have served us, knowing that there is no greater gift than what is done as a friend laying down their life for another. And so we remember, we celebrate, and we pray for, Lord, for healing for all those who have served. Lord, we pray now that as we study your word, may your truth ring in our hearts and our lives and our minds. May our hearts, Lord, be drawn to you and closer and in a deeper relationship with you, Lord, that we would walk moment by moment with you. Father, this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a pleasure and privilege to be with you this morning. My wife, Sherry, shows you how well we communicate. I try not to go out and do pulpit supply more than once a month, and this time I blew it, so I did it more than once, and so she took on a responsibility at church that she couldn't get out of, so she is back at home. We live in Sioux Falls, and so she's, I just about said she's stuck there. I don't mean that at all. She would like to have been here with me. For those of you who are around way back when I was here, I don't know if you, I know that I've said it more than once, but I want to thank you again. That was, I think, right after or about halfway through the first year of seminary, and it's really here where I learned to accept the call to be a pastor, because most of you know it was like a third or fourth career thing. But also this is where I learned to love to preach. And I know if I had go back and listen to what you had to listen to, I would cringe, probably. But in your grace, you allowed me that freedom and growing in that. So I appreciate that and think of you often in that. Was in Ironton for almost 10 years, pastor there, and the last 3.5 years we've been at Inspiration Hills as the executive director there. That certainly was nothing on my radar, and God did an amazing work to get us there. So I'm going to show you a few slides, but I'm going to invite the deacons to come up. They're going to be taking the offering while we go through these real quickly. My wife gets real nervous when I do this, because I don't usually script this, and then we can be here a while, but I'll time this better. So again, how many of you have been up to Inspiration Hills before? Very good. In the last 10, 12 years, any? So things have changed a little bit. We'll probably not deal with that as much on a building thing, but with what ministry things that we're doing now. So if you go to the next slide, Jeremy. Obviously, we're best known for summer camps, and we do that 8 weeks out of the year. We have broke a record this year of nearly 1,200 kids in 8 weeks, and it is the definition of chaos. Especially when it rains and they all have to be inside for the week, which we've had twice this year. So we're looking forward to building a gymnasium and another 40 or 50 bunks soon. So looking forward to that. So next slide, Jeremy. We have Wilderness Camp. They sleep in those cabins, tenabins we call them, and they cook everything outside, and there is a Spot-A-Pot, and no lights, and so it is pretty rugged. When they come in to the building from being out there, I can be in my office and not even know who's walked in the door, but I know when they walk in the door. We're just going to leave that there. Some kids don't care for that, but those that do love it with a passion. So next slide. We do Saddle Up Camp. 7 weeks out of the year. We have a gal from around Rapid City that brings in her horses. We'd love to have horses there year-round, but right now they're brought in, and our counselors do the leading for that. Next slide. We have Journey Camp. This continues to grow. It started 15 years ago, but it's basically kids at risk. Kids that may be in difficult home situations, refugee families, divorce families, kids of prisoners, any kind of trauma that might have affected them. We raise scholarship funds so that they can attend for just $15, and we've grown that from 4th to 6th grade to 6th to 9th grade, and this year we're actually going 9th to 12th grade. That'll be a shorter one, but a lot of these kids come with just blank looks on their face. They don't want to talk to anybody. We bus them in from Sioux Falls and other areas, and they're really pretty well shut off emotionally. And just one little story, we've had this one kid, Antoine's come the last 3 years. In the first year, he wouldn't talk to anybody. He was a refugee kid from Sierra Leone. The second year, he opened up to his counselors and said that he had watched his entire village being murdered, and he and his little brother escaped. He went through the jungle for 3 days, came out to a refugee camp, and was taken in by a family and brought to Sioux Falls. They're no family at all, but they were gracious enough to take those boys out. The youngest one doesn't remember much of anything. This past year, I didn't recognize him because he was always just a blank. And this year, I couldn't find him. But he had grown a little, but he was laughing and smiling and engaged. And I pulled him aside and asked him, obviously, you're doing well. And he said, I just couldn't wait to get here and tell you. He said, he's maybe 13 now. He said, I finally figured out what I want to do in my life. He's 13 years old. He said, I want to go back to my country as a doctor. And I said, that's awesome. You know, praise the Lord. And he said, but I really don't want to go back as a doctor. I want to go back as a Christian doctor. And I want to bring the good news. I want to tell the people that there's forgiveness. And then he started talking about how he's forgiven the men that had killed his family and village. And by the time he was done, I was just bawling. And then he stopped and he said, so this is where I found hope. This is where I found Jesus, my best friend. And he said, every year I look forward to coming here, and I'll keep coming as long as I can. And I'm taking as many kids with me each time I come, because this is where hope begins. So that's just, every one of those kids has got an unbelievable story. And like I said, we could be here a long time going through them. But God is at work in their lives. And just a powerful transformation for some of these kids. Next slide. We do a grandparent camp. It's a short, I say short, it's 2 days, two nights, 3 days, two nights. It's an awesome gift if you're thinking about something to give your grandkids. Give them the gift of time and being together. It's just a lot of fun. We've done it the last 2 years with several of our grandkids, and it's just a memory you'll have forever. Next slide. We do a chapel in the pool and outside in creation, and that alone in itself is just been a awesome experience for a lot of kids. Next, we have the canoes and the high ropes course, and more we have football teams and volleyball teams and businesses come and do the ropes course, and it helps develop teamwork and community building. We have a Sioux Falls, actually about six teams that come every year, but one team from Sioux Falls comes each year, and they had a kid. This is 30 feet off the ground. Big guy, 6'4", 300-pound lineman, junior in high school, froze up there, literally froze. Panic attack, white-knuckled, on the cable. And it took us an hour to get him down. And I went to the coach afterwards and kind of apologized. And he said, no. So I learned more about my team in this hour than I would in a year or two playing football. I found out who my leaders are. I found out who my guys that need some work. And I know who my cheerleaders are. I know who my quiet guys but are there to love and encourage. I know my team better now than I ever will after this. So it's quite an experience. Again, businesses are starting to use it. I think we had 14 businesses use it last year as a team building. And it's just it's quite an experience. Next slide. We have Volunteer Day. We also have service projects for all ages and abilities. Here they're splitting wood. We have ladies come and help stuff envelopes and cook meals and do some cleaning. There's a lot of things outside of staining and power washing. So if you have a project, whether 4 hours or 4 days, we'd love to have you come join us. Next slide. One of the things that the board gave me as kind of my marching orders, and this is what attracted me to the position, was to develop different ministry opportunities. We have a beautiful facility, and we're renting it out just about, well, it's booked year-round. Every weekend is booked. The summer is crazy. But we wanted to do more of our own events, to ministry events. So Sherry has actually started with the pastor's wives. They have 6 events throughout the year. Some are retreats, some are just day events where they have lunch and a speaker and time to get together. We've been doing pastor spouse retreats. Just told the elders to please send your pastor and spouse. Typically they don't like to take vacation days for something like this because they're short enough already to spend with family and travel. So send them. And I had one pastor friend that walked in the door last year, and he says, "They sent me. I don't want to be here." But by the end of the second day, with tears in his eyes, he said, I needed to be here. I need to be here." And as part of my passion is to encourage churches to take care of their pastors. Just a little window. I don't know if Article 17 is a separation of pastor from their church. There have been more Article 17s in the last 10 years than in the entire history of the Christian Reformed Church or the Reformed Church before that. We don't take care of our pastors very well. So we feel like that's one of our responsibilities, to help churches take care of their pastors. So please send them. We also want to take care of your church secretary. We have a free day for them to come and spend at the Hill. We just booked John Eldridge is a pretty famous author, so we're doing a men's retreat called Wild at Heart Men's Boot Camp. That'll be in March. Next slide. We have a adventure day. It's been called Sportsman's Day in the past. About 350, 400 people come out for that in the spring. Kids can do archery, hike trails, geocache, trap shoot, and fly fish classes, and it's just an awesome family day to come out and spend together. Next slide. We do single moms and single dads retreats. That, by the way, is my youngest daughter, Kelsey, and her little guy, Damien. She's a single mom, and this was another passion of ours when we got there. They are incredibly lonely. Most of them are isolated and trying to prove to the world that they can do this on their own. I had to take my daughter and set her down and almost want to spank her. Like, who in the world do you think you are? Mom and I tried to raise you guys together and we just about failed. Who do you think you are that you can do this on your own. And so we do the retreat, but we also work with Atlas to try and develop a community around them so that they aren't isolated and alone. And it has been life-changing for a lot of those gals. We've had over, in the 3 years that we've done it, we've had over 100 different women there. And I'd say 95% of them are in groups now and living life differently. We want to impact their lives, but then what they're doing with their kids after they've been impacted is also been really cool. Just finished up with a Women's Freedom Conference. We hope to do that annually in October. Jill Miller from Sioux City, she's an author, speaker, artist, and she leads that for us. Next slide. Just finished our youth leaders retreat. We got two youth retreats coming up in February and January, I believe, for junior high and high school kids. And those have been awesome. Leaders need a break as well, and as well as some equipping. So spend a lot of free time, but also encouragement time. Next slide. We're doing education events, continuing pastor education events, two of those a year. We don't have those lined up yet for next year. We also do It Takes a Village series, where we bring in a speaker or two to help parents of adopted kids or foster home kids or incarcerated parents. One little story of that is we've got a mom who adopted two kids, and they were fine until the oldest one got into junior high, and he, for seemingly no reason at all, started acting out. Just teachers couldn't control him. And come to find out that when there's a trauma that happens in a kid, just like when you're in an accident, part of the brain is shut down. And they begin to get confused. They start asking why they're here, why their parent didn't love them, all of that. And so we have people that deal with that and come and help parents work through some of those things. You'll be seeing more of that as years go by. I hope we're going to be doing more and more of that. So I think that's it. One more. Thank you for allowing me to be here and share a little bit. But also, please come join us and come hang out with us for a while. Yesterday we sat out on the deck. It was a little chilly. For about a half an hour and watched two bucks try and claim territory in our backyard with three does and three little babies watching. And we were all amused. It was a lot of fun. Let's pray together and we'll dig into God's Word. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the gift and opportunities you give us to serve you and to serve each other. Lord, may your word speak truth into our hearts and lives. May we use that, Lord, in every part of our living to bring glory to you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy, though we are going to put it up on the screen for you, to have you follow along. This particular book or passage is called the Shema. This would have been the first passage a student, a child, would have had to learn in Hebrew to be a good Jewish kid. You would have memorized the first five books of the Bible. Imagine that. But this was the kingpin or the kind of the verse that everybody had to know and continue to recite. So let's go to verse 1. And it's probably pretty familiar. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So right there, in context, this is Moses speaking. They just came out of Egypt. They've been in Egypt for 400 years. The first 200 were good years. The last 200 were not so good. And so now God's pulling them out into the desert to bring them to the promised land. They're at the Mount Sinai, and they're getting the commandments to learn how to live with each other and how to live in relationship to God. And so he's given them not only the law, as we see it, the Ten Commandments, but also the other law, which is like 613 rules to live by. Imagine that. So this is done so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your ancestors promised you. So there's the promise. It will go well with you. Next. Here's the command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Commit to these commandments that I give you are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Next slide. Impress them. So, if I would have driven up in a limousine with a driver, how impressed would you have been? Probably not so much, right? What is he doing? Who does he think he is? But it would impress you negatively, probably. There are all sorts of things around us that impress us. And they, again, can have a good impression or a bad impression. What God is telling Moses to do, and Moses is telling the people of Israel to do, is to impress their children. And how to do that? To talk about the decrees, help have them memorize them. Do that when you're walking along the road, when you're lying down, and when you're getting up. So from beginning of the day to the end of the day, tie them as symbols. We wear crosses. I have a pin on. We do things to remind us of who Jesus is and the work that he's done in our lives. And we write them. We may have sayings hanging on the walls. We may have lots of things that point to the work of Christ. And those are all important things that we do to impress our kids. Next one. Impress as a word means to have admiration and respect, or to make a mark or a design. You can think of a lot of things. And when I was a kid, we took silly putty, put it on newsprint, and it would, you press it hard, and it would take the mark off the newspaper. And those are the kind of things that, as they're being impressed, they leave a mark. Let's go to the next slide. The actual word in Hebrew goes a little bit further than that. To impress means to brand. Now, I'm sure Moses, and I would never condone branding our children. That's obviously not something we would do. But the idea is that we would make such an impression on them that they would have a lasting mark. And that's really the idea that Moses is trying to get across these people, that what they do will have a lasting impression, a lasting mark on their children. Next slide. So, I grew up on a farm. How many of you ever branded cattle before or were near branding cattle, right? Some churches I do that and I don't get any hands, so it's good to see somebody knows what I'm talking about. I did as a kid, and we had a VB with the B on the V in the circle, so we're circle VB. And on the farm by Morris, we would brand the calves, put them out in the pasture, or put them out in the field in the fall in the corn stalks. every night when I get home from school, I'd get on the horse and round them up and bring them back in. Well, one night, we had this 500-pound black baldy just went nuts. Tried to take me and my horse, and he went through the fence and down the road, and we just left him go. And later that night yet, we got in a pickup and found out that he had jumped the fence of the neighbors and went into the cattle yard with his black baldy cattle. Thankfully, we had branded the calves, and we could go right in there and pick out which was ours. We had left our mark, we loaded them up, and along another part of that story, he did the same thing 3 days in a row, and so finally after the fourth day, he didn't do that anymore. Anyway, but we were able to identify him because of the mark that we had impressed on him. We left our mark. Next slide. So there are other brands, right? Brands that remind us of something, and they can have either a good impression or a negative impression. So what is this, right? Everybody knows this brand, right? What is it? John Deere. So for who is that a good impression? Be careful now. Some of you know I sold John Deere farm equipment for a long time, so I usually have my John Deere shirt on too, but I didn't wear that today. But so because of how we've been impressed, either positively or negatively, about John Deere, that leaves a lasting mark. You're going down the road, I see a red tractor, I think, that's a pile of crap. No, sorry. I tried to get rid of that after being out of the John Deere business, but it just would not go away. Anyway, so again, the brand and what we see creates an impression on how we see that based on how we've been impressed by it, either by the quality or not quality. Next slide. What brand is this? Monster. Good brand, bad brand. Some people love that. I cannot have any caffeine, so that is horror to me. It brings back pain and all sorts of issues. So I see that. I feel like that looking at it. So again, good brand, bad brand, what kind of impression does it have and leave with us? Next slide. Who's this? What is this? Michael Jordan, Air Jordan. He's kind of the guy that started all this. His brand, he's still the most famous and most recognized person in the world. It's just crazy to me. His trademark is still one of the most popular. He's been out of basketball like 20 years, and he's still that icon. But again, he has created something so powerful that has lasted so long, generation after generation, even though they've never seen him play in life, live, he has that kind of impression of success and people that want still to be like him. What they don't remember, I think he took, I want to say somewhere around 30, 32 winning shots at the end of the game to win the game. Anybody want to take a guess how many shots he's missed at the end of the game? More than 10 times that, where he lost. And yet we have this impression, because of his success, that he is an incredible athlete and a pretty neat guy, from what I understand. So again, what are we seeing that is impressing us? And even more importantly, what are our kids seeing that is impressing them? What's leaving a mark on their lives? Just start to think about all the ways our kids and even ourselves are influenced by the world. And again, all of these things can be used for good, but they also can have a pretty dark side to them. Just a little story about one of the kids at Wilderness Camp. We have the pleasure and the cool thing that reception for cell phones is bad. So we don't have to fight that battle too much. Especially when they're down at Wilderness Camp, phones just simply don't work down there, so these kids don't have that temptation. Friday afternoon, he's by my office with his phone in his hand, a little 13-year-old guy. He's trying to figure out where his mom is, so he can tell her where to come pick him up. And so I said, so how'd it go down at Wilderness Camp without having your phone? And he goes, it was awesome. Are you kidding me? I was expecting him to give me a song and dance, how terrible it was, and I have his phone. And I must have had a look of shock on my face because he right away said, for real, it was awesome not having my phone. And then he went on, he said, do you know how much pressure I'm under? If I don't answer this thing right away, or if I don't say the right thing, how much flack I'll get, how much criticism I get. I hate this thing. I couldn't believe it. It's that idea of what comes into their life and the pressure that they're feeling and how they're being impressed and molded by the people around them. Again, the tool itself isn't bad, but it's being used to almost bully him into saying and doing exactly what is accepted or is not. And there are other things on there. The computer. How many of you have seen this Ortho commercial where this huge insect comes up to the door and wants to come in? Everybody see that? I feel like that's what the enemy is doing, only he's not so subtle as coming to the door, but using those things to get into our hearts and our lives and distorting God's truth and what God's impressed on us. Next slide. Kids are also watching us. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard, and I haven't been there that long, I just don't understand my parents. That's probably the number one phrase I hear. I don't understand my parents. And we'll go into that, and I'll say, we go to church, we listen to the Bible, read the Bible, but everything we see and hear in that realm doesn't match with how my parents live. And we start asking them questions about that, and that's what's confusing them. They're seeing this busyness and priority of life to get the car, to get the house, to have our schedules are so full we don't have time for friends or family as much as we used to, and then the kids are usually the ones that get cut out of that picture, and yet we do everything for our kids, trying to bring them to events and have them involved in stuff. But our kids, really what they want is our time. They want our attention. Had another little guy, he was waiting. He hadn't seen his folks all week. He was waiting with a lot of anticipation to see his folks, and they didn't show up on time, and they were an hour late, and he said, this is just perfect. This is just what they always do. They're never where they're supposed to be when I want them to be somewhere. And he just bawled. And then his parents did show up. He runs over to them and gives them a hug, and they didn't hug him back. It's like, what's wrong with you? I wanted to bawl for him. We live in a culture where we're just attacked and pulled and drawn apart. John 10 says, the thief comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's doing. He's pulling our families apart. He's pulling our kids away from our families into a chaos that only brings confusion and disillusionment of what is real. Fun story to be talking about, right? It's a fun topic. Next slide. We've also been impressed by people. There's Jordan. You got James, Brady. Anybody recognize some of the other guys? They all have an influence, whether good or bad. They all leave a mark, good or bad. And so my question to you as Calvin Christian Forum Church, as people and members of the church and of this community, next slide. What is your community being impressed by? Would the community know if this church wasn't here tomorrow? Would your neighbors know if you were no longer in that house? This was a challenge that was given to us some time ago. Ryan Pelton's planted a church down in New City Church in Kansas City. And that was the challenge that he gave to his congregation and kind of gave it back to us as a classes. What kind of impression are we having in our communities? Gandhi, philosopher, had said, I like Jesus. I think he's an awesome individual. It's his followers I can't stand. And that's kind of how the world is starting to see Christians. They would rather have a world void of religion so that they wouldn't have to put up with Christians. And that's becoming more and more the norm all the time, because we're not impressing them in a way that's reflected of who Christ is often. Next slide. But obviously, we have what the world needs. We have the good news. We have the resurrection story. We have what will bring healing and hope to every kid, every adult, in any and every situation. And we're hoarding it. We're not living it as fully maybe as what we could. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. What does that look like? How do we do that each day? How do we do that tomorrow? We can do it here, but how do we do that tomorrow? How can we make that such an impression on our kids that it leaves a mark? Because they're being impressed by a lot of other things. Most of them aren't good. How can you do it as a grandparent? Or as an uncle? Or as a neighbor? Another little story. We get kids from every walk of life from about a 200-mile radius. And 2 years ago, we had a grandmother come with two boys. I assume that they were her grandsons, and she hadn't registered online or even called ahead that she was coming with them, but took them. And I began to wonder shortly after our conversation started, I wondered if she had kidnapped them. They were her neighbor boys. And they have parents, but the parents left at 5 o'clock in the morning, didn't come home till 6 o'clock at night. And these boys, 11, 12 years old, were left alone. And she got permission from the parents to come to camp with them. And it took a little doing, but we got them in the camp, called the parents before we actually did it, and got permission. And those boys left changed. They both gave their life to Christ while they were at camp. And I had a little chat with them before they left and said, so how's this going to go over with your parents? Because you need to tell them. Do we really? Do we have to tell them? And they said, yeah, you got to tell them. Well, Mrs. Whatever, she's going to be in trouble if we tell them. And I said, you need to tell them. And so they went home on Friday afternoon. Saturday morning, I get a phone call. And it was not a pretty phone call. It was one of the parents, and they were upset. They thought they were bringing their kid to a camp where they were going to have fun, not having to deal with all this religious junk. I kind of apologized, but I didn't either. And we kind of left not real happy with her with me. Well, about an hour later, I get another phone call. It's Dad. Dad was thrilled. So can you imagine the conflict going on in those kids' hearts and lives when they have one parent on one side of the fence and the other one on the other side? My point being is that our kids, in whatever situation they may be in, have so many different conflicting things that are trying to vie for their attention and for their life, for their heart, even at home. And so if we as a church don't commit our lives to live all with all our heart, soul, and strength for the glory of God, then our kids don't have much of a choice or much of a chance. Because it's the work of the church together that is having an impact on the kids that aren't having a positive experience at home. And having neighbors that care, or having a grandma that cares, or an aunt or an uncle, or a church. Another community, this was before I got there, but they would send 30 kids to camp every year. And one year the church decided, we're going to pay for the kids to go, all 30 of them. Whoever wants to go, we're going to pay for it. And so that was great. But then they got together, the parents got together and said, what if we would, as parents, invite our neighbor kids and we'll pay for our neighbor kids to go? That year they came with 50 kids, 30 from church, 20 from the community. That's been going on. I think now this is going to be the sixth or seventh year that they've done that. And it's changing their community. The youth group, the youth leader comes with the kids now when they're in high school. That group's about 35 or 40 kids. God is at work in the hearts and lives of our kids. And I hear more and more stories of kids who leave camp and come back with a story that they led their parents to Christ. The kids are impressing the parents because they've been impressed by Christ. And when I say impressed, Christ left the mark of life. His nail-pierced hands and feet are the mark that is changing the hearts and lives of our kids. I pray that it impacts us in such a powerful way that we, in turn, impress our communities and each other for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, may we strive more and more each day to live for you. Not just a part of us, but every part of us. With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, Lord. May we live for you and bring a message of hope and healing, of restoration. Lord, we stand amazed at the work of your hands. May we celebrate it. May that, Lord, bring real joy in the midst of darkness and real hope in the midst of brokenness. Lord, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand together and sing the power of God's word, singing together ancient words. receive God's greeting and blessing. Now may the grace of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and be with you all, through the power again and work of the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.